A special guest in the studio. He's not been in for, we're just trying to work it out, it's probably about 6 years, possibly slightly longer than that. You came in with the Island Roads crew. First of all, welcome Councillor Phil Jordan.
Thank you, Ian. So good to be back. It is about 6 years, yeah.
It is 6 years?
Yeah, about that, yeah.
Because I pulled your leg, because you were cracking on then, and obviously you ain't changed a bit, though. I've got
Well, thank you. I've lost a bit more hair, but you ain't changed much, actually.
Well, I have. I've pulked out, mate. Only it's this lockdown malarkey. Yeah. My wife keeps saying, do you want lunch? Do you want this? Do you want that? Yeah. Okay, yeah. I normally have a banana for me lunch, but no, you've made me a three-course meal.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
Hey, look, it's obviously difficult times at the moment, but you've just told me something really, really... fabulous, and I don't know how much you want to go into the details, but this will lift people's spirits whether you live in Ryde or not. So do you want to just break the news?
Ian, last night at Ryde Town Council we had a very robust debate, and we agreed to buy the town hall, including Ryde Theatre, which is in the town hall. So Ryde Town Council have committed to buy it off the owner. Great plans for the future, mixed leisure use, bring the theatre back into use. Hope the building becomes a great community centre. It's going to take us some time. We've got to get some grant funding in to help us do that, but great, great news. That's a big, important building in Ryde that's stood empty long enough. We're going to fix it.
That's fantastic news, because as I say, whenever I go to Ryde, I always park in that street.
Yeah.
And I go to the glasses place, and then I walk by it, and I think, God, this used to be like the place.
Yeah.
And now it's just a mess. And now, you know, give it a while, and that's going to be, you know, it's going to be incredible. So what are you going to do? What's the major plan? Are we going to have gigs there?
I sincerely hope so. You know, it's only last night. I haven't been awake very long, but that's not true. I've been walking around Ventnor this morning. But
you have been home, though, haven't you?
I have been home once, yeah.
<It's all right.
laughs> Look, it's early days. There is a business plan for it. We had Hampshire County Council do that. So there's lots of options on the table. How it eventually falls is a bit of a jigsaw, difficult to say. But definitely, theatre is an important part of that building, and important that that's retained, brought back into use. Look, you know, we could conjure up lots of things. We'd put the town council back in there. That would be... unique, wouldn't it? The town council in the town hall.
Yeah. Well, that's the first thing I would do.
Yeah.
Where are you at the moment, then?
We're opposite, funnily enough.
Oh, right.
So our staff sit in the offices that we rent and look out on the building day in, day out, which is a reminder of the non-use of it.
How long has it been non-use?
Yes, it sold in March 2013.
Right.
Yeah, it's never been used since then. I mean, there was some efforts with some people to restore some of it in the theatre, and there was a little bits of work done inside at the time. But eventually that ground all, and it's stayed empty since.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic news. So yes. Well done to everybody that was involved in that. And obviously now the hard work starts with that.
Really does. It's a big project, you know. Ryde Town Council has become very proactive in Ryde. You know, it bought Vectis Hall, it bought St Thomas's Church, it's buying the harbour. It's become very proactive, and the town hall is the sort of almost the last piece of the jigsaw in terms of those older buildings. There are some other buildings, but almost the last one, but undoubtedly the most important. And I'm so pleased that the council have actually done so, because there's no future for that building otherwise.
No, it's just going to go to rack and ruin.
It'll just go to rack and ruin.
Well, like it is. You know, we all know the stories about people breaking in and doing damage and stuff like that. So
it's all been solved, Ian. Brilliant. Yeah, lots of security gone in, put some boarding in the windows up. It's watertight, weathertight. There's no, you know, it looks worse from the outside than it is inside, actually. But it's not used. It's empty and there's no love and spirit in the building. But actually, it's not derelict inside.
All right, okay.
But far from it, far from it.
Oh, well, good luck with that.
Thanks, Ian.
I think it'd be, that will be one of the things to see in Ryde over the coming months, years.
Yeah.
You mentioned Vectis Hall.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was called Vectis Hall when I went in there, but they used to play table tennis in there, didn't they?
Yeah, it was a great community. One of our councillors, Councillor Ross, his mum and dad used to do the dance school in there.
Oh, right.
In the 50s and 60s.
How brilliant.
After the war, Second World War, it was... a ration station. There's quite a history to it. But it was, of course, the first free school in Ryde. And it was paid for by the Player family, if my memory serves me right, who built it for the children of Ryde.
How fantastic. And yeah. I say, for many years, it was a place to play table tennis. And the Ireland champion used to play for Ryde at that time, before Carl Preen came along. A guy called Jim Daly.
Okay.
Do you remember Jim Daly?
I don't, no.
His brother also played. There was a Joe Daly as well.
Okay. Well, both table tennis players.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they were red hot too. Really, really good players.
That's a nice hall space, isn't it?
It was, yeah. Bigger than it looks from the outside. Like
it goes back. Yeah. It goes back quite a long way. Yeah.
No, nice. Yeah. No, good luck with that one as well.
Well, thank you. That's a different project. I mean, that needs a lot of work on it, but it's much smaller scale. So, and we've got grant funding already. Architectural Heritage Fund giving us $15,000 already to do a business case, and Historic England are really interested in it, and the Heritage Lottery Fund are interested. So, you know, we're on our way.
Excellent. You know, yeah. Good stuff. Hey, look, something else you got your hands on as well is a portfolio. Didn't you do that before when you were elected before?
Yeah, you know what, I had a big portfolio before, but yeah, I've got the PFI this time. I've inherited the floating bridge, which
look,
is
don't look, we'll leave that until
no
later,
all right, right. Floating bridge.
Yeah.
And the infrastructure generally, so I'm sort of interfacing with the ferries and transport buses, trains, that kind of stuff. Mainly the two are the and the PFI.
All right, we'll talk about a floating bridge in a minute. Let's talk about your roads, transport, and all that kind of stuff. Mm. And everyone's probably got a discussion in them about the ferries and so on. Something that's very hot at the moment, and lots of people were talking about with positivity. And I know the last time we were in, I would have said to you, what this island needs is a proper train thing going all the way around it, or a tram or whatever. But that's what we need, and it was pie in the sky because it would cost too much. Yeah. But is it now? Because I'm seeing people now coming up with plans and so on. How realistic is that?
Okay, so since I've been elected, so since mine took on this role, portfolio, I've been not involved with the bid, but involved with the information about the bid. So there's a bid gone into the Department of Transport, three-phase bid. The first phase is to extend the train line from Ryde to Newport. Phase two is Newport to Ventnor, and phase three is Newport to Cowes. But the first phase bid's gone in, so it's an opening the discussion with the Department of Transport. There are plans, routes, and how it can be done. Might be a light railway, might be an extension of the existing, but that's what the bid's gone in for. Who knows? But you know, we'll wait and see. If the Department of Transport might say it's not something they want to be looking at right now, but you don't know. The island's getting some success on bidding and funds and grants at the minute.
It needs it. It needs the train. I've always said that. We all know who did away with the trains, and you just think, why did we do that? Mm. We're seeing lots of old pictures of, where the train would have come by, roughly where we are now,
where it came here? Okay, yeah.
And you just think, why did we get away? Why did we do away with that? Mm. If that would have stayed in place, we would have had. We would have been streets ahead of where we are now.
Yeah, we would.
And, you know, the roads wouldn't have been clogged up and so on. And it's a little bit sad that we've done away with it. But if we got it back, you know, and people have said in the past, once you've lost it, you never get it back. But it sounds like it's being resurrected.
Yeah, it's planned. Look, there are those that, look, it'll never happen, and it may not. We won't, as a council and a community, we won't be able to do it. But if the government step in with grants of 50 million, 120 million for the whole scheme, the whole three phases, it's a possibility. Yeah, great shame it all went. We lost it all back in the 60s, wasn't it? 65, 64,
yeah.
66.
Yeah.
And we come full circle, haven't we? 60 years later, it's suddenly the future is light railways and away from single use vehicles. I mean, the biggest one, it's not just about the trains, is this change in sustainable transport and active transport that the whole move is towards that and getting people out of their cars. It's going to be a huge cultural change if we ever achieve it.
I think it's positive, and I think it's fabulous, and I think there are a number of things that have been going on in the last couple of years that I look at, and I think at last we're doing something. And that is, I mean, I love the new layout coming from Cowes to Newport outside of St Mary's. That seems to be working. And
seems so, doesn't it?
I mean, and those are the sorts of things. If people are, because we should reiterate that that is money that has come from government. It didn't cost the council. I don't think it cost the council anything, did it?
There was no money. It was a total grant.
So they are looking at us and they are thinking, hey, look, you need to, you know, upgrade. Yeah. And they've upgraded that road. They're now working on the St George's thing as well, which will be completed in August.
Yeah.
And you know, since we last spoke, the roads have come on a real bundle. I mean, Island Roads, I think, it is Island Roads, isn't it? Because another,
let's call it Island Roads.
I mean, they have done a terrific job, haven't they?
Yeah.
They really have. I like what they've done over the last... Because, again, right at the beginning, people were going, oh, it'll never work, and so on. And I'm just thinking, here we are, seven... Because it takes time. 7 or 8 years later, here we are.
Yeah.
And, hey, look, another 7 or 8 years, we could have one of them routes in place, train-wise, as well.
Yeah. But, look, it's an aspiration, and it's a hope. And if that happens, it would be, you're absolutely right, be great for reducing travel on our roads, which is becoming chaotic, our roads, with the amount of vehicles.
Mm.
The amount of vehicles, I think from memory now, there's something like 90,000 vehicles registered on the island. That's growing by number. And, of course, holiday period, that just swells by huge amounts. And we all see it, you know, at junctions that normally are not blocked or heavy traffic are currently under heavy traffic. There's, and you know, I'm sure people listening will know those places. Hare and Hounds is one, you know, up by Robin Hill. There are other places, but the volume of traffic is, we have to somehow find an answer list. We go, you know,
well, the thing is, if we're building loads of houses, it goes to show, you know, we know that there'll be a load more cars.
Yeah.
And if we've got trains in place as well, and we're building houses alongside, you know, the fact that we've got a, you know, better system in place, then surely it's going to be better. But if we don't have those things, all that's going to happen is our roads are just going to become even more clogged up.
It is, Ian. That's exactly what's going to happen. We've got the nirvana for transport planners is to get Ryde to Newport in 20 minutes on a train. And that's the target goal. If you can get to 20 minutes, it all becomes viable. So I understand. I'm new to this, but so I understand. That's the goal.
Hey, look, you're comfortable now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Should we tackle it then?
Yeah.
Let's go for it.
Yeah.
Floating bridge. What's happening? Where are we? I mean, I've got to be honest with you. I've used the floating bridge once in probably about 20 years.
Yeah.
And it kind of, when people go on and on and on about the floating bridge, it sounds like it's the be-all and end-all. And yes, it will be to some people, but it's not to me. So what's happening with it?
Okay, so obviously you'd expect me to say we're going to find a solution, because we are. But what's happening? There's a number of things happening on positive. Firstly, there's, which I won't and can't talk about, there's a legal process going on, but
right,
that's going on. I can't talk about it. Second thing is, we're looking at, there are essentially three problems with that bridge. One is the prow on it is at such an angle that the rams that lift the on and off ramp fail, and they fail regularly. And by regularly, I mean weeks rather than months. So 3 or 4 weeks the rams go. And there is a solution to that, and it's to change the angle of the prows, which changes the angle of the ram.
Right.
I'm told by engineers that would prevent them from failing in the way they do. That's what I'm told. However, to change the prow angle, we'd have to lift the boat out, lift the vessel out, take it away and cut it about and weld it up at a different angle. About 6 weeks' work, about 750,000 to do that in total. Now, the vessel's got to come out of the water next March anyway for it MCA inspection. So okay. It's coming out next March, and we are looking at an option, and it's no more than that at the moment, an option to do the revision work on the prows at that time, reducing at least downtime to some extent. That's one option. That's one of the problems. Second problem is the weight and length of the vessel, because it's too long and too heavy, and therefore you've got to have a push boat at certain times, couple of hours on the high tides, on low tides, no, high tides. That's a cost. It's a considerable cost, and the cost of that approaches making the operating of the vessel cost neutral or losing money. So that's the second problem. So it's too long, too heavy.
Right.
The prows are wrong and the rams keep breaking. And the third problem is the chains are too high in the water, and there's not an easy solution to that.
Right.
So the decisions and what we're looking at in terms of option is, do we invest some more money and try and stop the rams from failing, but not be able to do anything about the push boat because the vessel's still the same length and we still have the problem with the chains? Or do we look at it now and say, really, the answer is, we've tried everything over the last 4 years, and the answer really is replace that vessel with a new vessel, which if we take that as an option, the decision will be a smaller vessel, more in keeping with the old floating bridge size that we hope would not want a push boat because the old one didn't, and we'd run a faster on and off. There are problems with it because since these floating bridges were first built, of course, the MCA keep changing the rules and they don't like foot passengers and cars in the same space. And right. That's problematic. It's even problematic with the one we've got.
Okay, couple of questions then.
Yeah.
So, you spoke about 250, was it 250,000? 250 million, not 250,000.
For what?
For repairs.
If we change the shape of the prows,
yeah,
to prevent the rams from failing every few weeks, early months, we estimate that'd be about 700,000.
700,000. Who pays for that?
Well, we would have to pay for that.
We would have to pay for that.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the deal with the floating bridge? Because people say about the money we've paid, we've strumped up how much, was it, about £6 million in total?
Yeah, it's a big loss.
Who paid for that? Was that a grant that was given, or is that the council paid for it?
No, some of that is actually calculated in losses as well. So, but the whole thing has been at the cost of the council, yeah. And it's why we have to seriously look. Is it an option to carry on trying to find a solution to the failure of the vessel with an open-ended checkbook kind of thing?
Yeah.
Or is it time to say, look, we've done all that. We've tried all that. We haven't fixed it. It's never going to work properly because it's the size it is. So you're always going to need the push boat if we use that floating bridge. Or do you say, look, we have to find the solution to it is actually another vessel.
Okay. Another question about you've got a court case or you've got something going on which you can't discuss. But does that, at the end of that court case, will that decide what will happen?
I think, Ian, that we're going to make a decision before that. That court case is notorious. There's no guarantees. Every time we talk about it, the dates push back. I think we park that. It's going to go on. We have lawyers looking after that on our behalf. Let's park it in the sense that it's got its own life. Legal process, whatever comes to the end of it. But let's start thinking about, do we invest, as I just said, yeah. For example, it's a quick question. We can sort the prows out. I've told you there's three main problems with it. Chains, ram, length of vessel. Do we spend 700,000 on fixing one of the three problems, knowing that we still got the other two, when we could put that 700,000 towards a new vessel? Yeah, he's kind of
shame you can't trade it in, isn't it? Like he could, like he would a car. Look, the car's too too small. Or too, I want a bigger car, and I trade this in. Look, we've got a floating bridge.
Well, we're rather hoping, I suppose, if we take this option, buy a new vessel. If we do, these all big ifs. If we do that, we've still got that vessel. I suppose we'll try and sell it to Indonesia or somewhere who's never heard the Isle of Wight and all the problems that it's got. We need to sell it to somebody that doesn't know about it.
All right. So someone said to me, because we watched a programme once, can't remember, it was very recently, it was somewhere over, I don't know, Wales or Cornwall, somewhere like that, where they had an almost identical floating bridge, and they said that they didn't have any problems on it. It runs perfectly well. Is there, I know that the Solent is totally different because of tides and so on and so forth, but is that really the problem? Is it the tides?
It might be. There's the environment it's in as well as the vessel, isn't it? And you're right, there's tides, there's run, you know, out the fast, there's the depth of the river, you know, there's all sorts of parameters. I mean, that's part of the problem of not really being able to solve it. And the last thing you want to do, I suppose, if all of us are, right, you know, this is a vessel we've bought, we had the money to buy it from the LEP, you want it to work, it hasn't worked as well as it could. If it were you and I, say, bought a car, I'm just using this as a sort of an analogy.
I'd expect
you
them to put it right.
Yeah, I'd expect them to put it right,
whoever built
it. But you'd expect it to work, and you'd probably, you'd go on repairing it. And there'd become a moment in your life, if it was one of them Friday afternoon falls, they used to say, you know, this car is just a money pit. I keep spending money and spending money. I'm just going to trade it in type of thing.
Yeah.
And really, it's an analogy like that. You know, how much further do we go? We have spent a lot of money on that vessel, and we lost a lot of money, and we don't want it to be that way, and nobody wants it to be that way. And you know the worst thing, Ian, it's apart from the money and the cost, people have lost confidence in it. I mean, I have all the data given to me about at the operating, and I keep getting told, well, look, Phil, it's running at 93%, you know. And I said, well, that's great, but the problem's the 7%. That's the problem. When it ain't running, the 7% is what people lose confidence in, and then they either don't turn up, don't use it, go a different way. And that's where our problem lies with it. We've got to get a vessel that, you know, as far as a mechanical vessel working 24/7s can be reliable, that works, and then people turn up and use it.
Are we being a bit, you know, when you say 93%, because I know that we used to have discussions with Dave Stewart used to come in and say it's running at, you know, 95% whatever, and you think, what are we moaning for then? Because that's a fairly good percentage. Are we expecting, I mean, you know, let's be honest, if you got on a hovercraft, I bet over the course of the year, and it's no disrespect to the hovercraft, you can't run when the certain winds get up to a certain, you know, if you've got a force 5 or 6 or whatever, then there's a good chance you're not going to get on the hover.
Yeah.
Now, over a course of a year, I bet that they're only running at about 90%. So are we asking too much?
I don't.
It's a case of, you know, maybe we'll put a big billboard up in East Cowes and Cowes and say, hey, look, it's running at 90%. That should be good enough. And by the way, we are putting on a little boat that takes your foot passengers across as well. Yeah. So we're doing the best we can.
Yeah.
Live with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would say. Can't we do that then?
Oh, yeah, should we swap jobs?
Well, I'm not telling you how to do your job.
No,
Phil,
but I mean that. I mean, you know, get on with it
We're looking at it all wrong. We're looking at it from the negative. Oh, I want it to be perfect.
Yeah,
well, I'll tell you what. Last weekend, I went across to the mainland, and they moved our trip for the first time. I've been inconvenienced. And yes, I was a bit grumpy, but now I just think they still do a fantastic job, you know, and let's be honest, it's a high percentage that they get it right. So a billboard, Phil. A billboard.
Do you know what? Here's a funny thing. You know our rules, regulations. We spoke about this because, you know, they've got some electronic boards up about the ferries. We said, this is a great idea. Why can't we do that about the floating bridge? And then I learned that the Department of Transport are very, very strict on what you can say about trans. So you can't say the floating bridge is running.
Yeah.
Sometimes your mind is, how have we got to this place in the world where the simple things become so difficult?
Yeah.
So difficult.
It's frustrating. How do you feel now? Because I know that when you first got the role, that you said, and I saw this bold statement from yourself, well, I've got to sort this out.
Yeah.
How much are you pulling your hair out now thinking, I wish I hadn't said that, because it's much, much more of a problem than I ever realised.
Did I say that about the floating bridge or the PFI? Or both?
No, I think it was a floating bridge. I'm going to sort it out.
Okay, so I'm going to sort it out, Ian. There you go. I am going to sort it out. We're going to sort it out. Look, you wouldn't expect me to say we're going to replace it today, but it's a serious option, and we can't go on much longer and much further putting the kind of levels of your money, taxpayers' money, into that vessel that's going to require constant money fed into it. Whether it's 93%, 95% or 100%, it's still going to take that money, and that's the problem. The push boat and the chains are a problem. The push boat's a problem because it has a cost. I mean, it's difficult to tell you, but I think the push boat could be £120,000 a year.
Yeah. Well, good luck with it.
Thanks.
And that's all I'm prepared to sort of talk about the floating, because I don't want it to become ours, the floating bridge. Because let's be honest, I think people should be happy with if it's running for 93%, and I think that's good enough. I really do. And I say, look, the tide, the Solent, it's a bit of a problem. It ain't never going to work at 100%.
Well, I think we can do better, Ian. I think we got to do better. But I'll take on board what you say.
Have a billboard down there.
Be happy with what you got.
Yeah. Hey, it could be worse. You might have to swim it. That's what I would say. It's 95% is good.
I remember a time when people would ring in with you saying things like that.
Yeah. People of East Cowes might be a little bit upset, but I say, look, you know, it's how many times are you inconvenienced?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe once or twice. Maybe it is. Maybe you've missed your tea or missed an appointment, but you can always drive round. And, hey, look, the train might be coming soon.
Yeah.
So you never know.
Well, don't wear your Vectis Radio top into Waitrose, all right?
No.
Just a tip.
Yeah, good luck. ride interchange. That's an interesting situation.
Yeah.
How long has that been bubbling under, and what do you think's going to happen?
Yeah, so that was a scheme that was started 3 years ago. It was a particular government funding grant scheme called Transforming Cities. It was a partnership bid with Portsmouth, as well as on the island with White Link and South Western Railway. But the bid, Portsmouth put a really, really hefty bid in. I can't tell you the exact amount, but around 100, 200 million. And from memory, a couple of years ago, I think they had aspirations to put a light railway in between Southampton and Portsmouth. I think that's what the scheme was. It's all this sort of intercity, transforming cities fun. It's all about getting cities connected. So they put a bid in. Department of Transport turned it down. Isle of Wight were part of that bid. Our bid ask was 15 million. Of their total bid. Department of Transport came back and said, no, too much money, but rebid. So it's not a no, but rebid. Portsmouth rebid down to 56 million in total, and our portion of that on the Isle of Wight went down to 10 million. So that was a process started 3 years ago, and over the period, up until October last year, was negotiations, approvals by the DfT. They wanted to see plans, designs. They wanted a cycleway put in. They wanted data on emissions, reduction of emissions, and so on and so forth. And then they awarded money last October.
Brilliant. So is this going to happen?
Well, we've still got to decide whether we're going to take the money and do the scheme. There's a public consultation out right now.
How's that going? Because I know people are a bit grumpy. Some are.
Yeah.
Again, I feel another billboard coming on.
Yeah. Look, I think there's, I wasn't here, but I think there's lessons to be learned on consultation. I don't think there was enough consultation at the time on from the outset. But there is one now. It is, people can have their say about the scheme, and people will and do. There are objectors. I've heard them. They've been in touch with me. But also there's lots of people in support of it, because actually, if you look at the whole scheme, first you've got to understand what the money's for. So actually, the money is for linking cities, sustainable transport, reducing emissions, creating jobs. All this stuff that the transport, we were talking about the railways earlier. And there's a huge move towards encouraging people to use buses.
Right.
Big part of the scheme is to encourage people to get on the bus. So if you look at the ride interchange, it's a bit tired down there. It could do with a little bit of, you know, extra money in to spruce up the station, the public area. The buses is a dangerous area. Yeah. You probably know they drive straight in, then they reverse out. It's illegal. It's against regulations, at least, to reverse buses, as I understand it, with passengers on. So there's a bit of manoeuvring the buses not helpful in an area where people walk. That wanted tidying up. And that's where the scheme started. So the scheme actually started with the idea, believe it or not, that if you ran buses, for people who don't know this, George Street runs off the Esplanade up to the town centre. It's the main road up into the town off the front. And if you put your buses up there, they don't run up there at the moment. They run to the along the Esplanade, up Dover Street and up Melville Street. The simple process of putting the buses up George Street, in time saving and emissions, multiplied by the number of journeys, number of days, hours, days, weeks, months, years, was so big in emission savings that the Department of Transport said, that's what we want. That's okay. What we want. That's the kind of savings on emission, carbon reduction, carbon neutral at perhaps, because buses will go electric or hydrogen driven at some point. That's what they want. And then once you start with that in the scheme, the buses, instead of going nose on and reversing, had to go lengthways on to the Esplanade, east-west or west-east. Right. And once you put the number of buses in from the junction, it pushed the road onto the pier further westwards. And that's where a lot of the problem and the people that are objecting comes from, because to move that road, which is what's got to happen if the scheme goes ahead, the toilet block and the cafe disappear.
Right.
But the service doesn't disappear, because the toilet goes into the station and the cafe concession goes into the station as well. But the actual block would be lost.
Is anybody worried about the fact that you mentioned a railway going from Portsmouth to Ryde?
Yeah.
So that would be in effect a fixed link?
No. What they look at, it's constant travel connection. So now there's no fixed link on the railway, but the point is, at the minute, this is not happening, by the way. The new trains stop at the station. At the minute, you can't get from Ryde Esplanade up to the ferry, up to the fast track.
Right, okay. So it wouldn't be going across to Portsmouth?
No, not the train.
No, I thought we said earlier on a light rail was going to go from Portsmouth to Ryde.
No, Portsmouth to Southampton.
Right, Portsmouth to Southampton, right.
That was the original bid.
Yeah, no, crikey, that would have been a...
Yeah,
that would have been a lot interesting. More, that would have been a lot more complaints, wouldn't it?
That'd be a tunnel.
No, don't tell you that. I got a message here from Arthur, who actually lives very near the... Well, he lives very near the where the train would go, if it could. Macaroni. The railway route to the outskirts of Newport Victoria Road Tunnel was all still in place well into the 1970s. You need to ask why strategic parts of the track bed no longer belong to the council. That is you and me, that goes for the line from Shanklin to Ventnor. Hang on, that also goes for the line from Shanklin to Ventnor. Yeah. Go on.
Okay, so Arthur, I've seen the plans for that. I don't know why it's in private ownership, some of it. It's a small number of houses from the plan I saw, and I think there's a business there. It might be Travis Perkins. But, yeah, I've seen the plans. Firstly, it's phase two. It is more troublesome, that route, and maybe something that never gets done anyway, even if, you know, there's all these hurdles, isn't it? Get the money first. And certainly the easiest route is Ryde to Newport, the easiest of the three. But I've looked at that, and, yeah, there is a small number of houses in a proposed route and a business.
Another billboard going up, I think,
another
don't
billboard,
you?
Yeah.
We need your houses to make the Isle of Wight a little bit better.
Yeah.
Okay? Can you help us?
Yeah.
You can have Kitchener's finger there pointing and saying, we need you.
Ian,
to
we're
going to
send
house.
You out to do the public consultation. I love it. I love it.
All right.
It's tough. That's a difficult one. I agree with Arthur. That's a tough ask.
If you're putting any of these billboard ideas into place, don't forget you need planning permission. All right. I know that's
going to
complicate it a little bit.
Don't.
All right, look, we're running out of time. We've got about sort of 3-4 minutes
all
left.
Right.
And obviously, you've only just come into the role, a couple of months now.
Yeah.
And you, like so many portfolio holders, they're just you're finding your feet, you're putting things in place, you're working incredibly busy, lots of hours and so on.
Yeah.
What do you hope to achieve in your period of time? You know, if you're here for 4 years, what do you hope to be able to say, right, okay, we've sorted that and that, what are you hoping?
Well, first thing is that we're going to sort the floating bridge. There's no question we're going to sort the floating bridge out one way or another. We're going to sort that out. So that's one. It's not necessarily number one, but that's one. I guess on the other thing, we could see some improvements in the PFI contract. There's still a bit to do on that. That would be see some improvement, not necessarily in our network, but in the way that's delivered for us. There are still some issues, but we work on that. I don't know. It's just make a difference, Ian. It's hard, you know. It's hard to sometimes to pick a specific. Certainly the floating bridge, but just try and make a difference so that you leave what you know, when you go from this job. Everyone's the same as me, other councillors before me, and no doubt councillors that come afterwards. You know, make a difference to our community. That's what we do it for. That's what I do it for. I'm pretty sure all other councillors do it. Make a difference and leave something a little better when you go for the people that come behind us.
No, that's brilliant. That's a great answer. I like that. And you've probably been a little bit more out there with when I've asked what do you want to achieve. The other members, no disrespect to them, they haven't gone floating bridge. I'm going to sort that.
Yeah, but it's my responsibility.
No, absolutely.
I've got to say that, haven't I? I don't mean I've got to say we'll fix it. I mean I've got to talk about the floating bridge because it's my responsibility.
Sure.
If you ask somebody on planning or the law or the leader or whatever, that won't be top of their list. They'll have other lists.
Yeah, of course they will. Of course they will. We're all working on different things.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I don't envy your job and I don't envy any of the jobs that people have come in with their portfolio holders because it's a difficult time anyway.
Yeah.
We're coming out of a pandemic, hopefully fingers crossed.
Yeah.
And it's been difficult times anyway and I'm pretty sure there's more difficult times ahead, especially when it comes down to funds. But it does sound really positive that we're applying for this, and this and people are giving a positive vibe. So you know, good luck with the next 3 and a bit years because it will soon whistle by, as you know, because you know what happened before. How long have you actually been a councillor for now?
It's been 9 years now.
9 years.
Yeah.
And you know, I can honestly say that you've I know a lot of people say that you've worked hard, like so many. So
well, thank you, Ian. And I'll tell you what, it's not all about me. It's about you as well, because in the last 4 years, the stuff you've done here for this radio station, for the community, you have lots of supporters, and your work's brilliant. Some of the stuff's brilliant that you've done.
Thank you. But it, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
And as I've got this attitude of, and we have as a station, and I think, you know, more and more councillors should have this attitude of, there is no politics in local council. There is no politics in local radio. There is no politics in community.
Yeah.
If you want a thriving, positive community, take the politics out, because that will make it negative. And I say, it's not rocket science at all. Mm. You know, maybe there's a billboard coming again, you know. Mm. That's, people were saying, too many billboards.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's what happened, wouldn't it? Put up all the billboards and too many billboards. Cut the grass, don't cut the grass. Use weed killer, don't use weed killer. It's endless. Welcome to my world.
Oh, really good to see you, Phil.
Yeah, and you too, Ian.
Good luck. We'll see you again soon.
Thank you.
Cheers. It's 10 to 1.